Adam Pengilly, morning to you.
This is a lot of fun unpacking those text messages, Jared. A lot of big statements there.
Yeah. Well, best Colt since Piero.
That's a huge call,
isn't it?
Not yet. You can't say that yet.
We love a big statement, though, don't we? How good. Yeah. How do you see it playing out, the Golden Rose?
Yeah, fascinating race, Jared. I think Animo is probably about his right price at the moment. I think he probably could even start possibly a little bit shorter when it comes to jump time there tomorrow. The one thing I'm fascinated to see how this race sort of plays out in the first couple hundred metres, just going back through the Golden Rose or the history of the Golden Rose, it's traditionally been sort of a swooper's race. You get those horses that settle midfield or even further back, come swooping down the outside of the track. And I tend to think of horses like, obviously, Ole Kirk last year. Bivouac was something similar. I think of a horse like Zeus. Dave and the Autumn Sun came from last. Remember that race for Chris Waller when he came from last, coming back in trips. So,
yes, everyone on Zeusane remembers that race really well. Thanks, Adam.
Sorry, Jared. But having said that, like, there's not a lot of speed on paper in this race there tomorrow. In the Congo is going to go forward, obviously. But apart from that, there's probably a few positions that could be taken up just in behind him. So McDonald's going to have to be on his game in the first couple hundred metres. You won't want to spot them at too big a start. But I imagine if he gets in the two wide line with a bit of cover, he'll be in the ideal spot presented at the right time. I think he's extremely hard to hold out.
Adam, what's happened with Tom Sherry? He'd been hit with a lengthy ban.
Yeah, quite big news yesterday. Clarkey coming out of the Racing New South Wales stewards room. The champion apprentice in Sydney has been suspended from race riding for 4 months. Now, he was the jockey that obviously tested positive to COVID last week. He had a test, I think, on the Tuesday. While he was waiting for his results, he actually went to track work on the Wednesday morning, and his test came back later that morning confirming he was positive. So the steward took a pretty dim view of his actions there. I suppose the good news for Tommy is that he's apologised for his actions. He's going to get on with it now, and he'll serve out that 4 month suspension and hopefully be back race riding at some stage in the new year. His master, Mark Newman, was also fined a pretty hefty amount, almost $19,000, for not advising Tom to stay home as well. So hopefully they can both put that saga behind them and get on with their respective careers, and hopefully we can see Tom back in the saddle come January, February next year.
Gosh, I love our listeners. I know. We have died of dehydration if you're the one leading us to water. Or he says skip from
what
Robertson.
About Loz? You've just knocked $20 million off the value of enema.
Sorry.
What about the Heritage Stakes tomorrow, mate?
Yeah, this is one race I'm really looking forward to, Laurie. The three-year-olds, the sprinters there tomorrow. I think it might have potentially some Everest permutations out of this race, in particular with the two favourites in the market at the moment. Paul Lally for Godolphin, Home Affairs for Coolmore as well. Now, both of those don't have a horse nominated to run their slot for the Everest. Paul Lally was great first up, obviously, remembering the Rosebud, and second up, I thought it was pretty good as well. And I think he just finds a really nice race ring there tomorrow. I wouldn't be surprised to see him put his hand up and say to James Cummings, a Godolphin operation, hey, I'm the horse for the Everest. Have a look at me. So, and Home Affairs, like, Chris Waller's got this horse really tuned up. Three trials so far this campaign. I think he's won them all and really been made to sort of work. So he looks like he's come back a much better horse than the promising two-year-old we thought we saw last season. He's desperate for a dry track as well. So looking forward to the battle of those two colts there tomorrow. I think one of them definitely might be in the Everest mix come Saturday afternoon tomorrow after that race.
Sad news with the passing of Alan Scorse as well.
Yeah, just wanted to pay tribute, Jared, to Alan Scorse. Groovy Scorse is affectionately known to a lot of people in the racing industry. A multiple Group 1 winning as a rider. He's been around as a trainer for many, many years. Unfortunately passed away during his battle with cancer. Over the course of the last couple of days, he was 69. So our condolences go out to everyone involved with the family. I know John will be doing it tough down there in Canberra. They've had a pretty tough trot, the Scorse family, of late. So we wish them all the best, and hopefully the racing industry can get together and remember Alan's achievements, both on the track as a jockey and as well as a trainer. He was inducted to that Newcastle Hall of Fame as well recently, and he said it was one of the highest honours he could ever have. So, yeah, our condolences go out to the family and friends of Groovy Scorse.
And Glenn Schofield back in the winner's circle.
Yeah, what a great fillip for Glenn there yesterday. Hawks been a long time out of the winner's circle, obviously, with injuries. He's been on the sidelines for a long time. He's done a lot of work at the barrier trials the last month or two, hasn't he, given the fact that our regular riders can't go to the barrier trials given the COVID protocols at the moment. And Glenn was, I think, pretty chuffed to come back with a winner there yesterday. So he's had some fairly significant battles with his body in the last 6 to 9 months. Hopefully, we started Glenn getting a bit of a roll on and riding some more winners in the coming months over summer.
All right, give us your best.
Yeah, it's a tricky little program, Jared, from a betting point of view, but I like race 4, number 6, No Compromise, is the best on the program. This horse has been up for a fairly long time at the moment, but his form is just rock solid, getting right down the weights for that Colin Stephen quality. I think he's still a decent price at the moment, so race 4, number 6, No Compromise, my best. And Animo is obviously the horse to beat in the Golden Rose, but if you want to shop for some value, I reckon race 8, number 3, Captive on the Place, might be the way to play that race. He was awesome there first up down there And then second up, obviously had a few issues in the stewards' reports, but before some breathing difficulties. From barrier one here, I can just see Sammy Clippen just poking up along the fence, getting in a really nice spot. I think 1,400 metres third up is right in his sweet spot. So around $7 a place, he might be the way to get a bit of value out of that Golden Rose. So race 4, number 6, No Compromise, the best. And race 8, number 3, Captivant, the place in the Golden Rose.
$7 the place and $34 the win for Captivant. Who plays in the grand final?
Manly and Melbourne. Oof. Expecting two pretty close games, I reckon. Very much looking forward to tomorrow in particular, Melbourne and Penrith. I think Penrith going to have to really, really be strong in that first 20 or 25 minutes. Going, hang in there at half time, it's going to be a great game. And I don't know, I've got a funny feeling Manly just might eke their way past South tonight. I know South have had the week off, it's a huge advantage, but Tommy Turbo, how do you stop him? So I'm going to go for a Melbourne Manly Grand Final, boys.
There you go. Good on you, mate. Have a great weekend.
See you, boys.